This is episode 9 of Rage Quit.
Is it really?
It is.
Jesus Christ.
We're almost to 10. We missed an episode because of some recording issues and some YouTube issues, but that should be episode 7.
We'll fix it.
So that's going to be... you probably won't even notice a difference if you haven't caught up yet. But that's going to be recorded tomorrow and then published post-haste.
ASAP!
Yeah, exactly. But this is episode 9 of Rage Quit. Thanks for tuning in yet again. My name is Anthony Schultz.
My name's Ariel Schultz, I do believe.
Sometimes, maybe.
Most of the time.
This is Rage Quit. We are sponsored by AFK Clothing Co.
Oh, yes.
So you can head on over to afkclothingco.com.
And, put in ASI.
Yeah, in the promo code box, and you get 10% off. So it used to be 8%, now it's 10%.
Woohoo!
So, and we already have our last podcast episode, episode 8, with Brandon Tidwell, the CEO
of AFK,
AFK Clothing Co. We did a 3-part series covering the best and worst gaming communities. Now and we had a couple guest hosts, and then Ariel and I did one on our own.
Yep, now we're talking about NES games.
we're going to talk about the NES and just retro gaming on the whole. I loosely posed a question on Twitter. It wasn't specifically centered on the podcast or for Rage Quit.
We'll still bring it up, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good podcast topic of discussion. We cover a little bit of everything.
Think it. No, we'll bring up like what people have said, their comments on the NES, and kind of go from there. Which is kind of what we do anyway. So, like, we'll read off and who said what and whatnot. And
all the good stuff.
Always. This may be a shorter podcast than normal, but...
We've had some 45-minuters in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we're good. It's about 45 minutes to an hour. It just kind of naturally falls into that. It's kind of like, if you haven't checked it out, the first episode of FGG is up. And
that was like 3 hours.
It's actually only 2.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, it's about 2 to 3 hours.
That's not bad. No, so he's bringing up what the community said, and so if you want to start us off, what is your famous NES game?
So for me, I don't know if this... I know this goes for some people. I don't know if it goes for all people, especially longtime gamers.
Mm-hmm.
But I have games over the years, especially when I was really young,
mm-hmm.
that I played... And I don't remember, like, the title.
Oh, yeah.
I usually remember what console it's on, and I usually remember, like, the feeling I got or some details about the game.
Yeah.
But it's always, like, from a good place. It's always, like, a positive feeling. Like, I really, really enjoyed this game kind of a thing. But they've been difficult for me to find over the years. One of which is I actually did find when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I was probably a junior in high school, maybe a sophomore, and I
back
had
back in the day.
Yeah, and that was like 15 years ago. And at the time, I had played an NES game that I remembered, but I had forgotten the title of and didn't have a lot of details.
No,
I ended up finding that game 15 years after the fact, after I had played it,
which is awesome in its own right.
And Crystalis is one of my
I remember you telling me about
favorites.
That game.
It really got me into RPGs even before. Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool to hear.
Yeah, Crystalis and Dragon Warrior on the NES in particular. Dragon Warrior I always remembered for whatever reason. Crystalis, probably because it's kind of an unusual name.
Yeah.
But I got into RPGs because of those games. Like, the NES is the earliest console I remember playing.
So the thing is, I don't feel like I'm going to be too much contributing to this podcast. I mean, I'll put my input, but...
We can talk about also just older games in general and retro games. So
if you have
stuff from, like, PS1 or even PS2 era, like, I think it's a good place to discuss it.
Nintendo 64.
You didn't play anything with your... No. Well, yeah, that's the same generation.
Okay, I'm in 64 chick. I'm in Nintendo chick.
No, that's perfect.
Okay,
that's exactly what I mean.
Okay. I'm just saying, in general, it's like, I didn't play the NES or anything like that. I played, you know, the 64, which was my generation. Well, I mean, our generation, but...
Yeah, it was a little later for me, gaming-wise, mm-hmm. but... I do realize what you're saying. I get it.
It's so good. Sorry.
I really good.
Get the spice in the back of the tongue.
A little bit. Not bad. I mean, I can taste it.
Or when you eat a clam with the juice, it, like, gets you.
I just had the juices.
clam with the juice. Okay. Eating the clam. Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, my retrospect is like, getting hit in the old school, I played Mortal Kombat on the Nintendo 64.
Mortal Kombat I played, too, on the Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. Which and is then, known for having the gore and the graphics opposed to Nintendo. Awesome
gore and graphics.
My mom actually played Mortal Kombat with me. She always really liked Mortal Kombat. It was one of the few games she ever played with me.
That's awesome. I have plenty of siblings that needed both my parents, but...
Yeah, and I was the oldest, and at that time, my other siblings weren't born yet.
No, yeah. And then I played Pokemon, like, Arena. They're that time Arena, which is cool at the time.
We can even talk about older handheld games, too, like the Game Boy Color,
Game Boy Color. Yeah. Okay, we can do that. Yeah. Anyways, let's start with the NES stuff and what's posted on your Twitter tweets.
Yeah, so for the NES, Crystalis, if you guys don't know, is, like, an action RPG. It came out in the late 80s. I want to say, like, 87 or something like that. 89. Right in there.
Right in that era.
Yeah, and I played it afterwards, obviously, because I was born in 88. Mm-hmm. But I had a NES, I think it's the NES I still have, it's actually.
I think we still have that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hooked up right now, actually. And it is. I don't know, I thought it was really cool. It, like, dealt with crystals and stuff in its lore and story, very much akin to the early Final Fantasy games, which I played later.
Yeah.
Action RPG wasn't turn-based. Which Final Fantasy was.
Yeah.
You know, it really always has been. And save till, you know, Final Fantasy 15 yeah. and stuff like that. I don't know, I thought it was very colorful, it was very bright. They tried to do lay a lot of groundwork in Crystalis. And like, if that game was made nowadays, even with the graphics that it had then, just say published as, like, an indie title or as a throwback, mm-hmm. I could definitely picture a lot more being made, or even, like, a universe around it being made. Because there was a lot
more developed now for the universe and stuff.
It's just then, really, like, you know, cinematic universes or gaming universes and stuff like that really weren't a set thing.
No.
And weren't very common. You did have some of that, like, in film with, like, some horror franchises and stuff from, like, the 70s. But otherwise, you know, in Star Wars, you were evving up. You had the original trilogy.
No.
But you didn't really have any other, like, mediums that did that. And so, I think if that game was, you know, made now and even published as just a digital-only kind of game on, you know, cross-platform for 10, 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah.
I think you'd probably get a lot more, and you probably have a lot more bigger fan base for it. But it definitely did get me into RPGs, and is one of those kind of gems, for me at least, that I remember distinctly on the NES. Yeah. The other one was Dragon Warrior, which I brought up. Dragon Warrior eventually became Dragon Quest.
Which is cool.
Here for what, like, Western audiences, and has spawned a ton of, like, sequels, and is, like, a really big franchise now. I've never actually really played any of the other ones. I only played the original Dragon Warrior.
Really?
And that one stood out to me because I remember it being very difficult for me as a kid, and I couldn't figure out some of the heavier RPG mechanics. And that one was turn-based.
That makes sense, though.
But that was where I was first introduced to, like, slimes and a very, like, rich story and a big map and world to explore, even before Final Fantasy. I went back later and I finally figured out, not much later, probably just but like by a couple years, I was still a kid, and figured out how to actually play it and get into, like, the customization of your characters.
Do it the right way.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote.
And grow your characters and, you know, how to farm, like, experience and stuff like that in certain areas.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And then another RPG, actually, was Ultima. Ultima was, like, huge, and it was a really old franchise, and there's Ultima Online, and it even predates, like, the NES, and it was, like, a call and response to Dungeons & Dragons, so, and even, like, Lord of the Rings, so it's, like, you didn't have hobbits, you had bobbits, and a lot of stuff like that, and so it was kind of silly and funny in that way.
In a good way, yeah.
And that was an incredibly in-depth RPG. Turn-based as well. A lot going on. Definitely a lot more rich in content, even opposed to Dragon Warrior. But, yeah, those ones I think are, like, good gems if you haven't played them, or if you're looking to play older games and just kind of missed out on them.
Well, it's like the thing that, like, you were talking about with me. The best thing I could do is handheld games, like the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, and because I played a lot of the Game Boy Color, too.
Well, I didn't have a Game Boy Color until I was 16.
Yeah, I think I was like 10-ish.
So I was way older.
Yeah.
And then I played Pokemon Yellow. It was my first game.
Makes sense.
And I have a tragic story on the Pokemon Yellow.
Oh.
One of my brother's friends, who's a dick, I was playing my Game Boy. He's like, can I see him? I'm like, yeah, sure. Just being friendly like I am.
Yeah.
He decided to be mean. Took my game. I was fucking hours into this game. Just, this is the only game. It was
deleted or save over it?
Deleted it. Everything on my game.
Just because?
Just because.
Well, yeah, that's an asshole move.
Just because. Like,
that pissed me off.
I've had hours. My mom and I got this Game Boy for me. I didn't have the back. I had to duct tape the fucking batteries in. I got the Game Boy Yellow.
But yeah, so you could play it.
It was mine, so I could play it. It was mine. And because being a one out of fucking five siblings at a time, you don't have a lot of your shit.
Which is true, yeah.
And even if it's fucking old, like mine was, I'd rather fucking... I have it still. I cherish that Game Boy.
Yeah. I still have mine as well.
And he deleted everything. He saved over everything. He wasn't even... He just said, A, just fucking... And I chased him. I'm like, give it back, give it back. Don't do it. Please, please. I have hours into this game. I've almost finished literally with it. I have... My Pokemon are leveled up so much. I have them named my dog's names at the time because I was 16.
Yeah.
You know, they meant sentimentality to me, as dumb as it is sometimes when you have certain things, you know. And it's like... And then I get it back and it's just...
Deleted. It's just
deleted.
Gone.
I literally cried. I cried. I sat there and
cried. Oh, I would. Yeah, that's bullshit.
And he's like... Why are you crying? It's just a game. Like, you don't understand. It's not just a game to me.
No, I bet if you had done that to him for the game that he liked, he would act the same freaking way.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He felt horrible after seeing me cry. But at the same time, it's seriously?
Come on. Like, what did you expect kind of a thing? Like, oh, it's funny. Like, that's not going to happen. Oh,
you can start over again. Like, you don't know how many hours I've had in this game. Like, we're moving from our small house to our big house. I was being an angsty teen. I was stressed out. And it's good to get your mindset. That's, like, why I'm playing zombies with you.
Yeah.
Your mind goes dumb. Dumb, but your mind goes off.
Oh, it does. There are certain games that are like that. They're definitely less, less intellectual or, like, intensive.
You walk around in grass and catch Pokemon.
Yeah, so you can be definitely kind of out of it. You can be sleep deprived and still play it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, you know, and it's like that game got me through a lot of stressful times. And it's just like, you know, I end up having, like, the one that's, like, shaped like this. This flat screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance. I eventually got the Game Boy Advance one time I was playing it.
I never had a Game Boy Advance.
I did have a
Game Boy Advance. I heard that is like one of the best consoles.
Game Boy Advance.
Save for the PSP and the BS.
That's why I like Cyntaquil.
So, and the 3DS.
Because I had the Game Boy Advance, I picked Cyntaquil.
Yeah.
Because they had different Pokemon at the time.
This makes sense.
And so I picked Cyntaquil because he's a fire Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I had her and evolved her. Her name was Puppy after my dog.
Yeah.
I was playing one time and I went to the bathroom. Playing in the bathroom as a kid. Yeah. And then I got out the bathroom, my hand, it slipped out of my hand.
Yeah.
I dropped it. The battery fell. I'm like, I don't remember when I saved that.
That's why I'm like a religious saver.
Now, remember how many times I told you, did you save? No, save.
No, I just meant in general. Like, there's certain games where it like slips, but like autosave is so prevalent that...
Well, it's like the old games that you play, you go back to, and you forget that they don't have an autosave, like, especially Assassin's. I'm like, did you save? No. You probably should save.
Oh, yeah. There's some that just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how old of a game it is. Yeah, for me, I've always been, like, huge into old-school gaming. It definitely stemmed from the consoles I had when I was a kid. But I have gone back in, like, later years and gotten consoles I didn't have or missed out on.
Yeah.
And tried to find...
We get a 64.
We have a 64. With everything.
Work.
Yeah.
Does it have Pokemon games?
A 64 didn't have Pokemon.
Yes, it did.
Not any of the mainstream canon ones.
It had the arena game.
Yeah, but none of the mainstream canon ones. I don't have that game, but...
None of the mainstream canon games were ever on those. There was always on the portable games.
That's what I just said.
Everybody, shh. We're not listening to him.
But no, we have a 64. We have all the Zelda games and everything, and controller for it, and we even have, like, the Rumble Pack and stuff. We have everything for it.
What was it? Was it John, I think? I posted on Facebook or something along those lines about how the Nintendo GameCube wasn't a cube. It's a square. Not a cube or square. It's a rectangle. The dimensions on it.
A polygon.
Like, yeah, John's like, I've been lied to all this time.
That sounds like John.
Just laughed my ass off because it's like, it's not an exact cube. It's taller than it is wider.
And for me, I really wanted, after I had an NES and a Super Nintendo.
Uh-huh.
And then... I was a Sega kid. I had a Sega Genesis, and that was, like, my prized possession.
That makes sense that they're Sega or Nintendo.
Yeah, and the Sega Genesis in particular was mine.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, gifted to me for a birthday. And so, like your Game Boy Color, it was a prized possession.
Yeah, I was a one out of fucking five kids. It's the second youngest, nonetheless, and that it was my fucking Game Boy strictly. My dad got it for me.
Yeah. And mine was gifted to me. I was told incessantly that I wasn't going to get it, and I begged and begged for it. I was really little. And then I got it for a birthday. I think it was my fifth birthday.
I even know I was getting it. My dad knew how much I loved playing Pokemon cards. Like, I love playing it.
26 years ago.
Love playing Pokemon cards, and I always got my dad involved, and I just started my mom. And he brought me home a Game Boy Color. Granted, the back was gone, and it was busted to shit, but fucking, I still have that to this day. And
yeah, and for me, it was always, because of money, like, growing up, I could only have, you know, a console. Like, or it had to be, like, discounted or get on the cheap kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a 64 or a GameCube. I had a PS1 and a PS2.
Which makes sense at the time. Which is that generation. But at the same time, though, you were an only kid for the longest time. I was one out of...
Oh, when I got my PS1 and PS2, I was not an only child.
Well, your parents were trying to suck it up to you at that time.
Maybe.
A little bit.
But I cherish my PS1. I still have that one, too. That one's hooked up as well. And that's when I got into Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I played Legend of Dragoon, Xenogears, the original Rainbow Sixes.
Yep.
Siphon Filter was a big one, which is now the same studio that did Days Gone.
Okay.
There is, like, a long loss that my Twitch chat is trying to figure out, because they're all about my age, but there's a long lost PS1 game that's similar to Crystalis I remember playing.
Called Dante Elefantes?
No, nobody knows what it's called. where Jacob and I recall the game and playing it, and that it was on the PS1, and even genre.
What is it?
We don't know.
What? No, genre. The description. Tell me. The description.
Oh, it's a, like, third-person, military-esque shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You could drive vehicles in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the PlayStation 1. I don't remember much, like, auditory kind of clues or anything. Because I always listen to Drowning Pool Sinner really late at night with headphones on my Discman. And played it.
The context of the verbiage.
And... So I never had, like, the volume up in the game because it was super late, and we lived in a really small house at the time, and I would play that game, like, in the dark. And I borrowed it from somebody. Never actually owned it. And so my Twitch chat, all my friends are trying to figure out what the hell game that was so I can stream it eventually. But that's, like, the last one on my, like, short list with Crystalis.
Okay.
And As Your Dream was another one that I eventually found and purchased. But
I don't think.
Yeah, I kind of missed the boat on the 64. I didn't get one later. I got a GameCube later as well. I did have a friend in high school, though. Tyson Todd was his name, or is his name. And he had a GameCube. Mm-hmm. And he lived really close by to our high school. And so a couple of us would go over to his house and hang out, and we would play his GameCube.
What year was it?
I have no idea. It would have been, like, late 90s, early 2000s. I think... PS1 came out, like, 95, 96, because Final Fantasy 7 came out in 97. So it would have been, like, late 90s, early aughts. Let's say PS2 came out, like, 2001, 2002. Maybe. Cover doesn't look familiar at all.
Oh.
Nope, not it.
Getting close.
There's a whole bunch of that genre, too, because we spent, like, hours looking for it, and there was a couple possibilities that, like, sprung up, but they just, like, wasn't quite right.
No, that makes sense.
We were close, but we didn't quite get it.
No, I get it. I'm just kind of dicking around.
Definitely, I have always wanted to get, like, a Neo Geo.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
They have the Neo Geo Mini now. Kind of a niche console.
Definitely. Of War?
Definitely big into the Sega Dreamcast recently.
Yeah.
No. That's one that I didn't have, even though I was a Sega kid. I had kind of switched over to a Sony or a PlayStation.
Yeah. And what do you think? Do you think with the war, not necessarily the war games, but like your PlayStation games and your early on games, kind of molded into what you play now, or?
Oh, absolutely.
Most days. Well, I mean, I feel like I'm the same way because I like Zelda and Pokemon. So it's like I like certain games like that. Like, I like, for granted, like playing zombies with you, but.
Yeah, there are definitely certain games. Like, I fell out in line with, like, shooters and stuff, because I remember, like, I had a PC, too, like, a really old PC, and so I played, like, Quake and Doom and Wolfenstein, and I caught up on
I never played any of those games.
The early 90s, like, shooters that I missed.
Yeah.
With the PS1, I fell in love with Final Fantasy and, like, turn-based RPGs, which I'm still a fan of. Even with the PS1 playing, like, Rainbow Six and, like, Medal of Honor and stuff, I'm actually having, like, a blast playing the new, not new, the new, like, Call of Duty from a couple years ago.
Quote, unquote, new.
Yeah, new to me.
New F.
And so, yeah, definitely, like, the nostalgic kind of gaming history that I have has definitely shaped what kind of games I play
Do you
now.
Feel like if you were the other spectrum, like, you played, like, me and Nintendo Chick, you, Nintendo Dude?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think nostalgia definitely heavily affects, like, what kind of games I play or what I like.
Well, what I want to know from the crowd or whatever we get is, too, is, like, did you start from, like, let's say Nintendo and then stream off to the Xbox or to the PlayStation?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a
lot
of changes.
I feel like Nintendo is kind of...
It's a part, and it's been described as that.
A part in a mutual kind of ground.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, Microsoft fans or Xbox fans will oftentimes have, like, an Xbox One and a Switch. And a lot of Sony fans will do the same thing. They'll have a PS4 and a Switch.
Or Wii, or whatever.
And same with last generation. Yeah. You'll have a PS3 and a Wii, or you'll have, you know, a 360 and
a Wii.
Which
is interesting enough to see.
Yeah, Nintendo's always kind of carved its own path and done different things and been very, like, innovative. And then they have a really strong first-party lineup that stretches back decades now. Which definitely
fits into
retro gaming.
I'm intrigued to see the new portable PlayStation or Switch. For granted, it's not a...
Oh, the Lite? The Switch Lite?
It's basically their new Game Boy.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's basically their new Game
Boy.
Yeah,
it's a handheld. I mean, it's a pretty much the next iteration of the...
Game Boy.
3DS, but yeah. Or the Vita. Probably closely... Obviously not the same company, but probably more closely aligned to the Vita than anything.
No,
just because it's design.
Yeah.
And Nintendo and Sony are both Japanese companies.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's a lot of sharing and kind of same kind of mentalities in those companies opposed to Microsoft, which is
Western. Like always kind of somewhat involved in like PC games in a sense of the word, but for like not even like, you know, Doom or any game playing like that.
I did briefly, like when I had the old school PC with like Windows 95 and stuff like that, I played Descent.
Yeah.
Quake 2 was a big one. Quake 3 Arena I also played. I went back and played the older Wolfensteins.
Yeah.
Some horror games were in there as well. Hugo's House of Horrors.
See, I never played stuff like that. I don't know if because I was a girl or what the situation is.
And so that definitely influenced me now because I really like horror games, especially like indie horror games.
You know,
very reminiscent of House of Horrors.
Horror games, yeah.
I like arcadey, kind of frantic first-person shooters.
Kill him, dead!
Which, luckily enough, I'm old enough now, or we're old enough now, where it's come full circle, so you have, like, the reboot of Doom, you have the reboot of Wolfenstein.
Which is cool to see both of those.
Yeah, and they're doing really well, and have
and
big
like
fan bases,
and
they're really well made.
And the new age version of them, too.
Oh, exactly, yeah, and it has all the modern kind of, like, ideals, it is a throwback to a type of genre that hadn't existed in a long time.
It hadn't.
A lot of people kind of
tapered off.
It's not that they tapered off per se, because there were Doom games in there and Wolfenstein games in there, like on the PS3.
But they didn't
they're forgettable though, because what they tried to do is a lot of the team members from Medal of Honor on the PS1, which I played and I loved that series, and I played some of them on the PS2 as well. I played all of them on the PS2 actually. I really liked it.
Yeah.
They went over and then started Call of Duty.
Oh.
So Call of Duty took off because they had the original, most of the original Medal of Honor team members.
Yeah.
Which then EA Activision has capitalized on, and now they have three studios that rotate, and that's why we get one every year. It's not because they're only spending a year working on it. It's technically a different studio in a three-year cycle.
A bunch of different teams in
so
a three-year
like
cycle.
So it's like, when, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is coming out this November.
The new Modern Warfare. Which
the new Modern Warfare.
We have a Modern Warfare, but whatever, you know, that's cool.
We got two of them. We got a remaster, too.
Oh, God.
it's, yeah, it is long enough where you now we're, like, repeating that kind of cycle. But a lot of times, like, Call of Duty became, like, popular and big is because these Medal of Honor devs came mm-hmm. over and studio employees to work on Call of Duty. And Call of Duty yeah. existed. Like, most people don't talk about the original Call of Duty or Call of Duty 2 or 3.
Nope.
But once you get to, like, 4 and then on, we get one every year.
Is it because of the zombies?
A large part of it is they're always, like, some of the best-selling games of the year, no matter what. If yeah. not the best-selling game of the year, no matter what. But there's a huge segment of that population that just plays zombies, that yeah. just play online, or just scoop it up mm-hmm. to play the single player.
Okay.
So, I mean, it kind of depends on where
you
fall.
Do you want me to read the comments on the NES?
We do some of them. There's a lot of NES games in there that...
We don't have to. Okay, so
I have vague memories of or never played, so I can try to be insightful though.
We don't have to.
No, go for it.
Okay, so I have Aaron at Warren's Insane Here. Dragon Warriors.
Which we talked about before. That was definitely one of the most influential RPGs mm-hmm. in my young childhood. And I totally agree with that. That got me hooked on turn based RPGs once I kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Then we have Aaron Vendela, Villanueva, Ernie Venezuela, ELGORDO_84, Double Dragon. The only answer is Double Dragon.
Double Dragon's a good one. That's a kind of a classic. They did a digital-only Double Dragon game, like, just a few years ago that mm-hmm. was atrocious. it's a beat-em-up, which is also a genre that kind of died off. They have a few of them that come out occasionally. Yeah. On, like, the digital marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, we primarily game on the PlayStation 4, but they do have, like, digital-only games that mm-hmm. come out. Double Dragon was one of those. And I played a little bit of it, and it was mm-hmm. really bad. But it's a genre that's it's kind of died off. I wish it would come back, but...
Hopefully. And so, Harad at Harad 3, Castlevania, Gradus, Final Fantasy, Rampage. Can't think of any others off the top of my head.
Rampage is classic. Obviously, we just had the film adaptation of that not too long ago.
Yep.
Castlevania, one of my favorite franchises ever. I didn't really get in on Castlevania that early mm-hmm. on NES or Super Nintendo. I played a little bit of them later.
Yeah.
But Symphony of the Night on the PlayStation 1, mm-hmm. if we're talking about old school games or retro games, is probably like one of the best, like, it's one of the most well-made games
yeah.
of all time.
I think so, too.
And it spawned with Super Metroid in particular on the Super Nintendo, a whole genre unto mm-hmm. itself called Metroidvania.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it's like, just tonight, we're going to be streaming Bloodstained Ritual of the Night mm-hmm. for our, air quote, retro stream.
Yeah.
And that game is created and was made by the creator of Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And it plays almost exactly the same, except a little bit more modernized.
Which is really cool.
It was kickstarted, ground-funded, all that good stuff. Iga is what he goes by.
Mm-hmm.
But it is absolutely a Metroidvania game, which that particular individual, like, in part, created that genre because of Symphony of the Night.
Which is cool. All right, so I have Mindy D at MindyDI76340043. Okay, mine is very random. It's a game called Manic Mansion. I love this game, which you stated that you don't know. You'll have to look up.
Yeah, so I'm always looking to, like, flesh out my older collections and play things I haven't played. We have got so many old consoles, and we're on the precipice of being able to stream them. So when I get suggestions like that, especially ones I haven't heard of or, like, seem random.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to, like, scoop it up. Odds are it's fairly cheap because a lot of people haven't heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a good friend of ours and has recommendations, so I will definitely probably try to, like, scoop that up and, like, stream it at some point.
Or at least
play it.
Something cool.
Because our NES is hooked up and good to go.
All right, so I have Border Wars GG at JH Hubble 21 Bubble Bubble.
Bubble Bubble I've heard of, and I'm sort of familiar with, but I didn't play it at the time, so mm-hmm. I'm a little, like, hazy and kind of vague. Yeah, that's a big one, though. That's one that's usually brought up in these kind of discussions quite a bit.
Yeah.
Probably should have more of a limelight on it.
Eh. So the next, since we don't know much about Bubble, I have ILL6 Airborne Guerrillas, ILLG6 Gaming, Dragon Warrior, Zelda, Mario 2 and 3, Double Dragon, Paperboy, Tiger Hill, Metroid, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All those I played. All of them were great. I have kind of a funny anecdote for the copy of Zelda that I have on the NES. I had roommates years ago, probably like 10 years ago now, and there was four of us living in an apartment together, and something happened with our, like, toilet or bathroom, and the maintenance guy had to come, and we were all, like, dirt poor at the time, just, like, struggling to, like, go to school.
Like most young kids are.
Yeah, and one of the consoles we had hooked up that we played regularly was my NES.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing it when he came to go do, like, maintenance on our bathroom. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you have a working NES? I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty much all we play. It's all we have. And he's like, I have something for you. I'm just going to give it to you. We're like, okay. And so he went back down to his, like, office.
Yeah.
And then he came back up, and he had the gold cartridge of Zelda.
What?
And he's like, I found this when I was cleaning out an apartment years ago. He's like, I'm never going to play it. I don't have an NES. He's like, I've never met anybody who has one nowadays and plays it.
That's awesome.
He's like, you can have it. And it works. Battery pack didn't die in it. It works perfectly. And so that's the copy of the gold cartridge of Zelda that I still have.
That's awesome.
The very first time that I, like, started it and finished it was with that copy when I was in my early 20s. And I had played it before, but I had never finished it.
I also played Zelda 2. Zelda's another one. Pokemon.
Zelda 2. Yeah, on the NES were awesome.
Well, I played Ocarina of Time on the 64. So I have Amelia Solomono at Film and TV Mania. She did Adventure Island, Red Racer, and Super Mario, of course.
Super Mario, always a classic. The other two I'm not terribly familiar with. And then are other ones that I'm going to have to, like, try to add to my collection and play and hopefully stream.
Hopefully. Okay, so I have Walk on Legs at I Walk on Legs because it's weird gibberish. I walk on legs. Super Mario and Exit Bike.
Super Mario's good. Excite Bike's really good.
Excite Bike, sorry.
Yeah, Excite Bike's a classic. That's another one that's, like, very popular and, like, comes up in these kind of discussions again, like, over and over.
Which is cool. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and recently, the Dreamcast has really, like, piqued my interest. So
I'm trying
to collect games of the Dreamcast that I missed, or even older ones that I played on the PS1, but I don't have for that.
You can always ask John. He's got something.
He's the one that gave me my Dreamcast.
Which is legit.
Yeah, he had all of it. He had a memory card and the controller and the console itself, everything.
Because, like, the funniest thing, too, is I'm a Nintendo chick. I honestly am. I honestly didn't get into PlayStation until you and I honestly got together.
Yeah, fair enough.
I didn't have a PlayStation account. I created it to you when you and I, before we got married.
Yeah, my PlayStation account is, like, ancient.
But it's like, when I created it, you're like, what'd you create? I'm like, haha, Ariel S, because we weren't married yet. It was a joke.
Yeah, yeah. It's worked, though.
Yeah, it's worked now because we're married. But at the time, we weren't married. And so it's like, I've always played Nintendo or Game Boys or the DS and stuff. And I hadn't had a new Game Boy system for years until I, not necessarily stole it from my nephews, but left it at my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were so many kids, they honestly didn't remember it, so I got my first Nintendo DS that way and had the puppy play game, and then I got my own games.
Well, we got you the Zelda 3DS, too, later.
We did, yes.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I'm disappointed about the new Zelda game...
Well, that's on the Switch, but yeah. This is more retro.
No, and it's like, I love playing it. I love playing, like, the Spirit Train tracks and...
Yeah, and Shadow Morrison is, like, a big fan of kind of, like, the offbeat Zelda games as well. And
yeah.
He brings them up pretty regularly, which is kind of cool.
Well,
those are the ones that are kind of forgotten about, the ones that are on the handhelds.
They do. It's like, for granted, everyone thinks, like, oh, the Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time was on the 64, the cube, the handheld.
Yeah,
handheld,
the main
handheld,
ones,
handheld,
yeah.
Handheld. The Wii, it's always been redone because Ocarina of Time was so popular.
Yeah, it hasn't always been redone. They only ever had the one remake for it. But yeah, I mean, the big ones definitely are the ones that are going to be remade first.
Like a fucking Water Temple. No one likes the Water Temple. Fucking Water Temple.
Kind of like the sequel to Wind Waker that nobody talks about.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I want a GameCube now.
We have a GameCube.
Fuck.
And we have all the controllers and I have the games for it.
So
I
Anthony have all the is just a pain too. In the ass.
I have all this stuff. I've had it for ages.
I don't normally play games. Anyways.
Yeah, no, that's why I rotate on consoles. We have a 64 and a GameCube, all the cables for it, and the games.
That's
a,
right.
A lot of the GameCube games are in all these rooms with our PS2 games.
I need to find my old game handheld systems from my parents' house.
You have some of them here.
Not all of them. I don't have my color, I don't think, here.
No, but you have the Game Boy Advance.
I have my Game Boy Advance.
You have your Game Boy Color when we were at the last apartment.
Then it should be here.
Yeah, it's floating around somewhere.
Yeah, because I showed it to you.
Yeah. Same with my PSP and my Game Boy Color. They're floating around here somewhere.
That's because of the back duct tape. I showed you it, and it was funny because it had my, I think I wrote my name on it or something.
Something like that, or initials, yeah.
Initials, whatever, on the back of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like there's such a rich history with older consoles and games, and it's like now we're like far enough down the path. It's been a few decades.
It has.
And longer, actually, than a few decades. But we have all sorts of different like generations of gamers. We have all sorts of different entry
points
for gamers.
It's like even with like you and I being just enough apart in your age to have different generations.
Oh, yeah. And then we've had people guest host on the podcast or people that I converse with
who
on Twitter
younger.
Who are, you know, 10 years younger than myself. And they, you know, their entry point into gaming and what's nostalgic to them
it's
is like
the
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. That was their first game.
PlayStation 2, 3.
Or PlayStation 2, or the Xbox 360.
Or the Wii, or
like
the
that.
Wii U.
And for me, the, you know, the PS2, I was in junior high. And I was already late. And,
exactly.
The PS3, I was in college.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember you telling me about that. It's just like, you know, I never, like I said, being the second youngest in games and like being the second, you know, there wasn't.
Well, and I had to pick and choose as well, like, and I always got them a lot later because of that.
Yeah.
You know, it was more because of money, not because of how many people were in my family, but.
Well, that because of how many people I had in my family to have money, so I never really was into games because my parents were, because my dad's old and my mom.
Yeah. My dad played some games with me. He probably regularly played games with me, especially on the PS2 kind of generation. He was big with it.
My parents don't.
Yeah.
They'll try to play, but.
Otherwise, I can't. And my mom occasionally did, but wasn't really big into games. But, you know, I regularly either, like, begged for consoles or games, or
thing,
to rent a game.
Yeah,
also
I think the best
one.
Thing, too, is, like what we do with Ollie is, like, you know, he sees us playing games, and, like, when she played Zombies, he's like, where's mom?
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was at work, how many times did he ask you, where's mom?
Oh, that's fine, I don't know, a dozen times.
Because you weren't playing Zombies with mom. But then when you're playing something else, he knows mom doesn't play these games.
He's fine. Yeah, he doesn't say anything or ask.
But when mom plays certain games with you, where's mom?
Yeah, he doesn't understand that, you know, you can play it by yourself or do something else with it. And he doesn't ask it if I play, like, single player.
Or Borderlands or something like
that.
On
that game, he doesn't ask.
No.
But if it's Zombies, yeah, he will ask.
Where's mom? Because I play with you. And what the coolest thing is, always like with him, is like he'll have a range of all our game systems, but we're not going to let him play them.
Yeah, he'll know of older games and stuff, which is kind of nice. But yeah,
I think he's one of the one rare kids that doesn't want to watch YouTube or the Baby Shark do 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 bullshit.
Which is very true. I think this is a good like topic of discussion for sexual bow ties, but it is interesting to consider that we talked about. You know, in between generations, starting with, like, either, like, the 360 or and the PS3 or, you know, that era.
Yeah.
He's going to be the next generation following that.
And
so when he's old enough to play games, it's going to be, like, the PS5 or PS6 or something.
Even by then, yeah, because he's only a year old.
And that's going to be his, probably, entry point, save for the memories he has of us playing games, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that was, like, a good discussion of...
A little bit NES, a little old school, a little bit. It's a little bit of that.
Yeah. I think I'll close out. So, obviously, I said I was, like, focusing on the Sega Dreamcast. So, recently, I got Dino Crisis, Legacy of Kain, which I never played, and Silver, an RPG for the Dreamcast. But if any of our viewers or listeners have any suggestions of other Dreamcast games to pick up, I'd be down, because that's what I'm... kind of focus on retro gaming wise.
We'll eventually get that capture card so we can play.
Oh, yeah, we'll be streaming it. I have a week in my Twitch schedule, or a day in my week for my Twitch schedule for retro games in particular. And Bloodstained's not going to...
last much longer.
Yeah, be perpetual. It's not a very long game. But
no, not in the slightest.
Once we finish it, we'll be moving on. So you know, hopefully we'll have the capture card.
The there. Only old school games I am is, and then as everyone knows, I'm a Nintendo chick. I'm not much helpful, but...
Yeah, Red Steel. It's old school gaming.
I want my Game Boy Color. All right, well, I'm Ariel Schultz.
I'm Anthony Schultz.
This is Rage Quit.
Yeah, episode 9. We're talking about the NES and retro gaming.
Follow the sexy panda bear.
Yeah, a sexy polar bear.
Polar bear.
Everybody says panda bear, and that's going to be the next emo for Twitch. It's going to be a panda bear.
All right, polar bear. Follow the goddamn bear.
Follow the bear. Yep.
Follow the bear. Bye.
not yet. I got to close this out. So we are sponsored by AFK Clothing Co. If you head on over to their website and you like what you see, when you check out, throw in ASI into the promo code box for 10%.
Woo-hoo.
You can follow AS Inquisitor on Twitch and YouTube.
Yep.
We upload 3 times a week on YouTube, and then I stream 5 days a week now.
Basically, yeah.
Not basically, it's scheduled. I stream 5 days a week. At least 24 hours a week.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll be back for episode 10 with Charger as a guest host.
Yes, because your one thing got corrupted, so we're redoing it.
We're going to, no, he's doing the next episode as well as episode 7 in the same time.
Follow the bear.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in.
As always.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye-bye.